Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Bop diddy bop diddy bop 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 diddy bop diddy bop diddy diddy bop bop diddy bop diddy bop diddy bop 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 diddy bop diddy bop diddy diddy bop 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 bop.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch
ideas.
Ideas.
Welcome. I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, and this is
Andy.
Hi, I'm Andy.
Matthews.
Matthews, yeah, sure. Okay, why not?
We don't use your name to protect your family, but occasionally I do to throw your family under the bus.
I have, up until this point, been in a very mild witness protection scheme.
Yeah.
A preemptive witness protection scheme because I'm very observant and it's only a matter of time before I see something of great import.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So
I forget that witnesses, they witnessed. All they did was witness.
All they did was witness something, right?
Yeah.
And I reckon you can probably pick a witness out of a lineup even before they've witnessed anything. You look at, you get six potential witnesses lined up and you can see somebody, you'll be like, he may not be a witness today, he may not be a witness tomorrow, but he will be a witness. It's like Minority Report, but
for witnesses.
For witnesses.
For people who witness crimes.
Yeah, you know, he looks like he could bystand innocently, you know?
Maybe get shot in the leg.
Sure, yeah. But then live to tell the tale. Maybe I'll be the one who, in a sort of everybody gets killed scenario, I'm the one they leave alive to tell the story of what happened here this day.
And then...
happened.
But then after that, you have to go into witness protection because then they want to kill you after you told the story.
Well, once I've told my story, my purpose is... it's complete.
But that's crazy because then why would they kill
you? Because
they don't
want, because dead men tell no tales.
Yeah, but he already told the tale.
Yeah, but it'll just get more boring with the retelling, you know? Like once I've done it once,
no.
It feels like I've got the story out, you know, and it's just going to, I don't like it when I hear people reworking a story. Also, memory is distorted by the act of telling.
I know, but I think that you'll actually get better at hitting some of the beats as you tell it. And
sure.
You'll be able to put a bit more, like, you know, emphasis on the good bits, the
right,
juicy
and
parts.
Really, like, milk the narrative, structure it a bit better. Yeah.
Maybe trying to add some details to what you were doing during that day.
So do you think maybe like there are people who can become sort of almost professional witnesses who like, while you might have seen what happened, this person really, you know, could tell the tale of what happened. And maybe their testimony, while less accurate, is considerably more compelling.
That's right. They're not just a tattletale.
Mm.
They're a tattle story tale. Storyteller.
Great. You know, it's straight off the stand and into the book stands.
From one stand to another.
From one stand to another. Yeah, it's stand to stand.
And also, if you wanted to be a professional witness,
you
know, especially if you wanted to get some of that great government witness protection money, you know, get put in a house.
I wonder what that's like. And I wonder if it is cumulative. Like, say you witness one thing and then you go into protection and then you witness another thing. Do you keep your original witness money and then also get the witness money for witnessing the other thing?
First of all, I hope that there's witness money.
You brought up the witness money.
I know I brought it up, but I don't want to sound like an idiot. I don't want to be like, there's not a lot of people cashing in on, you know, make it sound like there's people cashing in on witnessing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I knew that people were really cashing in on witnessing, I would be out looking at everything. I'd be out there. I'd be in good neighborhoods. I'd be in bad neighborhoods. Why watch TV? Because that's never going to bring in any money.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, oh, what did you witness? Oh, I witnessed all five seasons of The Wire. And they go, get out of here. We got no money for you.
Unless you can No, you're right. I was going to say review it in an interesting way, but I don't think there's that much money in sort of criticism these days. You know, it's hard to get a gig, especially the arts pages are drying up in all the major newspapers.
Absolutely.
All right, Alistair. Bam. Witness protection scams.
Okay.
This person is seeing crime after crime. It's almost like when somebody goes into a casino and they just keep winning. They win a suspicious amount, right?
Yeah.
This person is somehow gaming the witness protection scheme.
Yeah.
And they are always on the scene of crimes, witnessing things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living like kings.
Yeah.
In a new house every couple of months.
I guess it's essentially...
with a new name.
It's probably like, okay, for example, people who live on the streets probably witness a lot of crimes.
Yes.
But they might not know that
how much money's
in it, right?
Also, they don't have a home to be given a new home.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's true. I guess the government would just take them to a different city and put them on the streets.
I guess.
Yeah, but under a new identity.
Right, which is probably why so many of them seem crazy.
That's true. I mean, unless when they give them a new identity, can you get welfare twice? I guess the government would be in on that, though, wouldn't they? They would know about that scam.
The government's in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really in on these welfare scams.
No, but because they also give you your new identity.
They should really call it unwelfare, shouldn't they?
Why?
Because you're unwell. If you're
on it.
Sick or something.
Well, yeah, if you're sick, then maybe that's what they should call the disability pension.
Okay, great. Yeah. Do you think that would go down well?
I don't know. Unwelfare?
Yeah.
What about... not ideal fare.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Subpar.
Well, then that sounds negative.
It does, doesn't it?
Like, not ideal. It's like ideal in an ideal
nobody's
world.
Nobody's ideal.
No, exactly. So they should all be called a not ideal fare.
And that's the universal basic income.
There you go. Not ideal fare.
Yeah. Is that going to be more appealing in some way?
I don't know, but it's it treats everybody as imperfect.
Can we go to my idea of preemptive witness protection? Because what would be really great would be if you started out under an assumed identity, and then when you witness something, you could just go back to your real life.
Oh, see, that's nice. I like that, actually.
I mean, it's hard because who knows what your real life is supposed to be if you've lived your whole life in witness protection.
But it puts your life... It's like you've got a life with a built-in ejector seat.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And there's not a lot of, like, difficult paperwork when you want to eject.
Mm.
Essentially, you just hit the button.
Which is seeing a crime.
Seeing a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
it's got to be pretty horrific as well.
No, but I mean, like, maybe you could just go see a guy who gives you, early on, a second identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, look, I guess resetting your life by seeing a crime is very funny.
Hmm.
But I was just thinking that you could go, like, let's say you go live 37 years,
yep.
37 years in Minnesota,
uh-huh.
or Salt Lake.
Delaware?
Delaware. I don't know. I think, is Delaware a state?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know why I picked an American city. Wait, is Minnesota? Oh, I meant Minneapolis.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, Minneapolis. That's where Letterman's from, I think.
Great.
And, you go, anyway, you do that, 37 years, and at some point you go, nah, I don't like where this is going.
Yeah.
And then you go, I'm going back to my original birth name, like that, and then you move to Bathurst in New South Wales, Australia.
Great. So what was your, how did you have an original birth name if you lived your 37 years?
Well, it was preemptive. You got your preemptive.
Oh, okay, great.
Remember?
Yeah.
Preemptive. That was your idea.
I forgot you were building on my idea, Alistair.
Andy,
I forgot they were cumulative.
I'm always building.
That's right. On the strongest of foundations.
So should I write preemptive?
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, and it's. I reckon people probably have a prime witnessing age of life. I'd like to look into this and find out what it is.
Like when they're best... at seeing, I guess it's pre-cataract.
Pre-cataract, obviously.
Yeah.
But also sort of post-navel gazing. You know, I feel like a lot of, you know, the teens and something very involved, self-involved.
Yeah.
You know? Not like the older people. Yeah, they never talk about themselves.
I suppose you could, if you were really wanting to witness. I think I definitely like your idea where you don't just reset your life by just deciding, oh, like, this is going. Or, I mean, you could go, I don't like where this is going, but then you go, no, I got to go out and witness a crime.
Yeah.
Right.
That's your way out.
You could start a relationship maybe with somebody who abuses alcohol and possibly the people around them.
Yes.
Because then you would watch their descent and eventually you right. would see a crime possibly yeah, happen seems, to you or one of your
likely,
loved ones.
Right? Like they're going to – seems rikery. Did I just say seems rikery?
I'm not sure what you had in mind or in mouth.
Anyway, somewhere in my head, mind or mouth, I've totally forgotten what I was going to say. But yes, you're right. You just got to set yourself on a path that'll cause you to intersect with wrongdoers.
Do you think that maybe you could just do some research and just see where the bad neighborhoods are? Maybe start walking around during the day. Look at places that are good vantage points to potential high crime areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a stack of pallets, especially pallets with their sort of holy nature.
Like to be behind?
Something
so
to be
looking
behind.
Looking through the slats?
Yeah, looking through some slats.
Great. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also if you could just maybe over time just build a sort of – build your own tower that is essentially a safe house for you to be in but made out of pallets.
Yes.
Wooden pallets.
Uh-huh.
And so then you're kind of like – and I guess if you're higher up, you also have a more vantage point over more area, yep. which is yep. more
and this is all just to get out of your life.
Yeah.
Right. Because really, it feels like you've already changed your life considerably. I mean, maybe you've already got a new life, you know? You're now living in some kind of pallet tower.
Yeah.
Pallet. In a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, in a, like an alleyway.
Constantly watching.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you running away from if it's worse than this?
Well, if it's better than what your life was.
Yeah.
But I mean, also putting your life, you know, in the hands of fate in that regard, you know, definitely adds a sort of a certain joie de vivre to your life.
Yeah, it's
in your pallet tower.
It's almost a spiritual sort of openness to the universe.
But then the crime.
Because it's new experiences. The experience of seeing a crime.
Or waiting to see.
Sure.
Because you might not actually see a crime. It might actually be a better neighborhood than you thought. You just
well, I wonder if it's all about bad neighborhoods. Because some of the best crimes, right, are sort of seen. I think glimpse through like the window of like a middle class family home.
Yeah.
Because
some of the best people that have crimes.
You're taking out bins or something like that late at night. Okay. You see something through the light through the Venetian blinds.
Yeah.
Right. And then you call the police,
yep.
and the police show up and they knock on the door and everything in the house is fine, right?
Yeah, right. On the house where
you saw the things.
Okay, yeah. Rather
and
than
then
your house.
Rather than your house. Oh, it's a bloodbath in your house.
Okay,
but the house where you saw the thing, that's
yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. And then sort of events unfold over like you know months where it emerges that the mayor. You know,
the mayor,
murdered a vagrant, right?
Who lives in the house across the street from you?
Yes.
they were
a well-to-do vagrant.
Yeah. A sort of static, well-to-do vagrant.
Yeah.
Who knows the mayor?
In a paying job.
I guess it, you know.
Do you think you could have a blood test that would tell you you're a vagrant? Because some people, I imagine, are like carriers of vagrancy, but they don't show any of the symptoms.
I think you can often tell with people's teeth. I think it's
sure. Dentists are often the first to pick up on vagrancy.
Yeah, I think a lot of sort of a vagrant is just a vagabond.
I think a vagabond has more joie de vivre.
Right. I see.
I could be wrong, but I feel like a vagabond, their life is almost romantic.
Okay.
It's enough to make kings and vagabonds believe the very best.
Right.
Now,
so what about...
I don't know what that means, but they're hanging out with kings in that sentence. They can't be doing too bad.
So what about like one of those homeless people that rides on the trains?
Oh, it depends. What are they called? Have they got a banjo?
Are they a vagrant?
Have they got a banjo?
No.
And they're a vagrant.
Okay. What if they have a banjo?
Can they play it?
Yes.
Vagabond.
Okay. What about they can't play it? They have one, but they can't play it.
They're a vagrant who stole a banjo.
Okay. What about...
Yes.
It's a person who has a home.
Uh-huh.
Has a banjo.
Yes.
Can't play it.
Okay.
They are very rich.
Yes.
But they're on a train carriage that they hopped onto. What are they then?
Fuckhead?
Yeah, I suppose.
Nothing.
If
I'd had a funny answer.
But if they can play it.
Oh, vagabond.
Troubadour.
Troubadour!
Yeah.
They could be the voice of a generation.
I would love, here's a TV show for you, Vagabonds versus Troubadours.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
all that's the difference between them is home ownership.
I think this could be the new The Voice, the new You've Got Talent,
mm-hmm.
the new Australian pop star.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But it's for troubadours and vagabonds.
Yeah.
And
They all live in a house together?
Is they do an audition.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They make it through, they don't make it through.
Okay.
Right? And then they try and get in touch with them. The audition is whether or not to give them the ticket to Sydney. They're already gone.
Wait, the audition
already
is
drifted on.
Is whether or not they can get on the moving train.
Great.
That's your audition. If you get into the carriage,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then you get to do the second audition, which is the musical round.
The second audition is sort of moving from town to town, getting in scrapes.
Okay, great. Okay. Do you have to solve any you know, sort of like local people's problems or paint their fence or...
I think you have to form a special bond with a young teenager.
Okay.
But then I think once you've taught them an important lesson,
yeah,
you've got to move on.
And with the scrape,
yeah,
is that you sort of fighting off their bully and then teaching them a lesson?
I think the scrape is more you stealing a chicken.
Okay.
Yeah. From, sure. I'm going to say...
a chicken coop.
Chicken coop, yeah.
Or like a supermarket.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
Barbecue chicken coop. Wait, should I write down vagabonds versus troubadours? Is that a sketch idea?
Yes, vagabonds versus troubadours. Is it a reality TV show?
Oh yeah.
Like all that stuff we just described?
I think so.
Maybe with a few.
It's got a few more levels to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like
a lot of, and
what's great is that you'd think that the vagabonds have sort of more of an advantage because they have such a sad story, you know, getting them to this point. Mm. But the troubadours have a rich history.
Yeah. And they're also rich.
Yeah. Right?
They're doing okay. They have a lot of support around them, I imagine.
That's right. But they've also burned a few bridges.
Oh.
Yeah, I reckon.
And the vagabonds were probably living under
bridges. And they've actually burned quite a few bridges. As a result of some just...
when they're trying to cook that chicken.
Cook that chicken under there.
Yeah. All right. Samples in the supermarket.
Yeah. Free samples.
Free samples.
Mm.
Yeah. You go up there. All I want, right, is to have a live chicken there. Right? And maybe it has to be like slaughtered or something in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find an excuse to have a live chicken murdered in a supermarket.
Sure.
Does that sound like comedy to you?
In the free samples thing?
Yeah, I feel like a free sample is like... Well, okay. All right. This would be better.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's a free sample, but it's offering like an experience, you know?
Yeah. Can I... This is not a great idea, but I'm interrupting your idea for a moment.
Fuck, I had nothing else to.
Okay,
how but about I have this? A little something now, so I'll try and hold on to my
you
idea and you
do,
tell
do
me
you
yours.
You want to write it down?
Yeah, great.
There you go. Here's my idea. You know, free samples? How about this? Some guy in there, $3 samples.
Makes people appreciate it more, I think, right?
I mean, could you imagine trying to pull that shit, walking around with a platter of things?
Yeah.
And then go and, you know, you want to try this.
It's a bit of sausage.
It's just skewered. Like a single skewered, toothpick skewered
bit
of sausage that you've been cooking on a pan at the end of the aisle. You go, sausage? You go, that will be $3 after they ate it.
Oh, after they ate it?
Maybe as they're going for it, $3.
But I think, or yeah, as they're going for it, $3, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you're like, look, I'd have to be crazy to ask for $3 to try a little bit of sausage in a supermarket.
Mm.
It's been sitting out here all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I got this toothpick in. I reuse those toothpicks, right? Wait, you'll pop it in your mouth. That little thing where you put the
Wait, are you the customer toothpicks? Or the guy
I'm
who...
the person. I'm the person selling it.
Okay.
I take those used toothpicks. I pop them back over into the unused toothpicks. I use them again. Why am I telling you all this? Because if I was confronted with a guy giving me a reused toothpick, room temperature, tiny slice of sausage, and asking him for $3,
mm-hmm.
I'd say to him, that better be some bloody good sausage.
Yeah.
Well.
It is.
I'm here, aren't I? And didn't I just do all those things?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you reckon?
You want to try some sausage?
You want to try some sausage?
Give me goddamn $3.
Is that anything?
I think so.
Okay, great.
I think it's just bold.
Mm. Mm.
I think it's bold. It just breaks convention. It would build intrigue. I think that company, whatever this sausage company is, I mean, they'd be the next Spanx,
exactly.
But for sausages.
Right, exactly. I mean, Spanx, but for sausages. This is interesting to me, all right? If your sausage could have a figure, it's already inside like a stretchy tube,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's turn that into like an appealing shape, you know?
Yeah.
That classic hourglass sausage.
Well, what if it's a sausage that when you eat it, not only does it taste good, but it makes your body sort of shape change in such a way that it eliminates underwear lines?
Wow, that's incredible.
Eh? And then this will be great for women. This will be great for men.
I'm paying $3 for this.
You're paying $3 for a sample of this, right? Because this is...
It'll just eliminate one section of my underwear line. A little bit of
that,
the circumference.
The little sample. Yeah. That sample will, It'll do sock lines as well.
Oh, wow.
It'll do sock lines. It'll get rid of the sock lines. You know those marks on your face?
When you wake up?
Those will be permanent.
Oh.
No, I don't know if that's great. But.
Can I tell you my idea?
Mm-hmm.
My free sample idea. Free samples for skydiving, right? One they've got there, they've got a backpack, and then they just got a little stool.
Yeah.
Right? You clap off of that, you jump off, and they say, now, what did you think of that? Would you like to go skydiving?
I think that's good.
And there's a similar one here, bungee jumping, right?
Sure.
But... they'll just do it for like your arm, so they like just lash an elastic band around your arm or something, hold that up and let that drop, right, and feel that bounce up and down. Like, now imagine that was your whole body.
I mean, I would love if they tilted you upwards so that you were sort of horizontal to the ground.
Yep, is this skydiving?
Skydiving, and then they dropped you into some foam or something.
Sure.
Or into water.
Or just an inch, right,
just an inch.
Onto the ground.
Yeah. I mean, just a big guy.
Yeah, he picks you up.
He picks you up.
By like the back of your shirt and sort of your...
the back of your pants.
Back
just
of your
the
pants.
The ass of your pants.
Yeah, okay.
And then he just drops you onto the ground.
Yeah.
From just, you know, a couple of inches.
Great.
2 inches? What's that? 6 centimeters?
Approximately?
No, wait, an inch?
5.5? 5 3/8?
5 3/8 centimeters.
Yeah.
You're going to get a rush. You're going to get a rush in that moment. Because, first of all, you're not even used to getting handled like this.
No.
By a man. This is man handling.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they just sign you up.
Do you think that they drop you onto, like, there's a picture of, like, the distant Earth? Like, do you think they've printed out, like, a big, like, A0 photograph, and they just hold you over that?
Yeah.
And they drop you down?
Yeah, I think that would be nice.
And maybe he's blowing in your ears as well.
Absolutely. Like that, he's pulling your skin flaps back, your cheeks back,
yeah,
like that.
Right.
You know, You could maybe like put some bit of Visine in your eyes so that the tears come up.
Yeah.
You should have wore goggles. You forgot your goggles, man.
Well, this is what an experience. Imagine it's just a sample of what it's like to go skydiving and forget your goggles.
Yeah.
I'm into this.
Yeah, man, me too. But wait.
I think you could also build up to skydiving, you know, by having him drop you from slightly higher and higher. Is it microdosing? Is this a kind of microdosing?
I guess it kind of is microdosing. You know,
do you think it would be enough to inspire creativity?
Well, I think if the people, you know, of Silicon Valley, I think a lot of them aren't trying this before their day's work. You know, because I think the idea is that microdosing is that you're taking a small amount of something, right, to the point where during the day it's barely noticeable, but you've just got a spring in your step. Now, a lot of those people would try getting a spring in their step by just putting a spring in their shoe
Tech people. They think there's a tech solution to everything.
Exactly.
But there isn't. Sometimes the only solution is having a big man pick you up.
Blow in your ear. Blow in your ear, drop you. Onto a photograph of planet Earth.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we came up with an idea only like a month ago about a skydiving desk that allowed you to simulate diving while you work at your desk.
Wait, I don't think that was us.
That was us.
Was it?
That was on this podcast. You were sitting there and I was over here, Alistair, and we said that.
I don't know.
But this is very different.
Yeah.
This is a microdosing situation.
How many people do you think it would take to recreate the full skydiving experience on ground?
Like, what do you mean?
The amount of blowing that it would take?
Mm.
Right?
Do you think that if we all got together and blew up at the same time, we'd be able to make somebody hover?
Well, I wonder. You know, and it feels like big concerts is the place where people should be trying that.
Because we already have, crowd surfing.
We have crowd surfing. But what about crowd paragliding?
Yes.
You know, what if like Flea, say, from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, wore a squirrel suit, right? Put down his bass.
Yep.
Right? And then launched himself over, what would you say, 20 to 80,000 people.
Yes.
And they all blew up at the same time.
Yeah, they all blew up.
They were blowing
air upwards. I'd say this is a tragedy.
Upwards.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I think that he would at least...
He'd have to get something out of that.
He wouldn't get nothing out of it.
But then after they've all blown up...
What if they also waved with their hands?
After they've all blown up, yeah. I was going to say they'll have to breathe in. And then he'll be sucked down,
oh my God,
smashed to the earth.
Yeah.
But everyone can just angle their heads down when they need to breathe in.
That's true.
Yeah. That.
I don't think there's been enough crowd breathing yet, crowd, you know, blowing.
We've got to be getting to the kinds of volumes of concert goers where this is possible. Like we're seeing the huge numbers that you get at your Coachellas, your Lollapaloozas.
You know, to a certain extent, your South by Southwests.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Although that's more of a sort of a trade festival, right, with multiple
stages. Yeah, but
stages.
You could be crowd kite flying or something. Something lesser. Okay. Crowd sort of what's one of those planes that was made for gliding? You know, so a lot of the...
A glider,
yeah. Mm. See, a lot of... You're not really relying entirely... The plane will have already had a fair amount of momentum as it glides across the stage. But the crowd gives it that extra altitude.
And we've also talked about flying a plane on a stage before, Alistair.
Well, not a glider. And not across the stage to get to the crowd so that they can blow on it to give it altitude.
Updraft. I want to know if, there's some sort of a disaster situation, right? A hot air balloon is coming down or a plane is coming down or something like that, right? There's a big crowd of people who are below the plane. So at the moment, the risk is it's going to land on them. They're all going to get hit and killed.
Sure.
What have they got to lose? Mm-hmm. I just say you just need one leader to get everybody's attention.
Yeah.
Say, all right, everybody, we could get through this. We just need to blow it away.
Okay.
Right, and get everyone breathing together, yeah. Like that.
Maybe,
right.
Maybe a yoga teacher.
A yoga teacher. They'd be perfect for this.
They're all about synchronized breathing. Or
Alexander technique.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all about leading with your head. I'm not entirely sure.
lead with your breath.
Anything like that, like Alexander technique or, you know, like engaging your core, anything that's based on you got to think about it for 100% of the time or, you know, keeping your back straight, you know, those ideas?
Mm.
Keep your back straight. Just pull your – you go, but wait, are you thinking about it 100% of the time and never slouching? Is that what the idea is? Is that I gotta put all of my thinking power into this, and that is your solution?
I have no idea. But if that's what it is, it sounds like a nightmare. Right?
I think it is a nightmare.
Because if I have to think 100% of the time to stop myself from slouching, then slouching is my natural state.
Yeah.
And whatever you're trying to do to me is unnatural.
That's right.
You're deforming my
They're putting in you in some kind of polyester state, whereas your curved back is a cotton, sort of a more of a cotton.
Yeah. Now we have 5 sketch ideas, Alistair.
Are they?
Where only? Oh, what are you writing down now? Oh,
crowd blowing.
Yeah.
Or crowd power gliding.
Yeah. Great. I mean, I wonder if it could also work from an aeroplane.
Yeah.
Right? If you're all in the aeroplane,
right?
And the aeroplane is crashing.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think that if you I wonder if there's some, this is how I would solve it, right? Mm-hmm. The plane's coming down.
Yeah.
Right? We just need to cushion the blow somehow. You know those masks where all the oxygen comes from, right?
The ones that fall from
fall from the ceiling. Mm. I reckon that's a two-way system, right? If needs be, you can get everybody to blow into those. Okay?
Get the engine
and
going
then,
again.
And then whoever's like at the other end of the tube plugging in the oxygen for those masks, you just take that tube where the oxygen would normally come in and you point that down towards the ground and you say, all right, everybody, blow. And then everybody blows and it just creates that cushion of air.
There should be the people's engine underneath.
Yes.
And it's an air-blown engine.
Right?
You know, like those old ships that you would would paddle.
Yeah.
Like that, but with your lungs.
If they're not going to give us parachutes, they've got to give us something to do in the event of an emergency. Even if you just told me that was what we were doing, it would give me hope to get me through the... Like, I just need something to occupy my mind while I...
Stop making
until
me
we
feel
crash
helpless.
And I die.
Yeah. Stop making me feel helpless by not giving me a people's engine that I can blow power.
Just tell me there's one there, even if there isn't, right? Is there not some kind of false hope protocol that they enact in these times
they
of crisis?
They should have a blowing straw that comes down.
Yeah. I like the idea that we could just use the mask.
I know, but I feel like filling in that air bubble that's there too would be problematic.
Right. Well, everyone's got to hold that with their fist. Right.
You know,
you're looking at me with contempt.
No, I'm not. No.
Or is it exhaustion?
No. I was focusing to start my idea and remember what it was.
All
and
right.
Then...
Okay. Well, I'm talking about my thing.
Yeah.
So don't even look like you're thinking about your idea, Alistair. All right. So is this because on Star Trek,
I'm going to write down your idea.
Star Trek, the ship is always crashing or something's always gone wrong with the power supply, and then they always have like the auxiliary power supply and the manual override and all that stuff.
That's true.
Feels like they've got so many options. They can always get power from somewhere and put it somewhere else and switch on a thing and it, you know, blast them
That's
around
true.
At the last second. And I don't think that we get those options when we're on a plane. It's pretty much the engines.
There's the engine fuel.
and then
there's
then
a couple of batteries.
Right?
But you can't use the batteries to power the engine.
Yeah.
You can't divert power from the batteries
from
into
the batteries.
The engine,
yeah, divert power from the.
What about solar
air conditioning?
Power? Do you think that they should at least just in case put solar panels on the roof?
Just in case, you're closer to the sun
than you are to the ground.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the sunbeams are touching you, whereas the ground isn't.
Yeah.
And the ground isn't a source of power. It's a source of motivation.
Oh,
it's
absolutely. And motivation is power, obviously.
I mean, in a way, yeah. You know, but at some point, once you get up and so high in the sky, it's hard to keep that ground, you know, in your mind as a, you know, as a fear or whatever.
No, I don't know. I reckon once the engines go, it's pretty top of mind.
Yeah, once the engines go.
Bottom of feet, as the case may be. But I reckon, Alistair... So far, we haven't found a way to turn sunlight downwards on a plane mm-hmm. directly into lift. But also, we haven't ever been as motivated as the people are in those few seconds as the plane begins to plummet towards the ground. They are some of the most motivated people to find a way to turn sunlight into lift.
It's true. Imagine all the inventions that we've lost that were invented by people who were plummeting to the ground.
Oh my God! They would come up with so many great
because
things.
Because it's that last minute thing that happens when a project. You know, it's like there would be that moment of clarity when you would just see exactly how you could turn sunlight into lift.
And also, like a lot of, like when you're plumbing towards the ground, these people, they don't have time to worry about all the red tape
That's right.
You know, the bureaucracy.
And
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're in international air.
International air, okay?
So it doesn't matter. These rules don't apply to you at this point.
Oh, it must be so freeing. It's just such a shame that every single one of those has ended in death.
If only we could simulate.
A lot of the best inventions and discoveries happen by accident. Mm-hmm. And there's scarcely a bigger accident
than a
plane falling out of the sky.
Absolutely.
Killing everyone on board.
So essentially we have to recreate these conditions by creating a plane.
Having you picked up by a big man. dropping you towards, say, an A0 printout of the ground.
But maybe in a plane seat.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, surrounded by other people in their plane seats. It could still be a man holding up this sort of model of a plane.
I would hate for him to lose his job.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, we have flight simulators.
Mm-hmm. We have flight schools.
Exactly. But what do these all do? They teach you how to fly the same way that everyone has always flown, right? There's no new ideas coming out of them.
That's true.
Not a single new idea. But we just need a way to extract the ideas from the plummeting. We need a plummeting simulator.
Yeah. But then also, if you knew you were in a simulator, those ideas might not come. So it's got to be really real feeling.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think you know you're in a simulator. We take you out onto the tarmac.
Get you into a regular plane.
Those windows, though, you don't realize they're... Oh, no, we fly up.
Mm-hmm.
We fly up. You don't realize that those windows are screens.
Yeah.
Okay? But you still get the feeling of flying up,
mm-hmm.
right? And then... You start plummeting to the ground. And you are genuinely plummeting.
Yeah, you are plummeting, but... The screens make it seem like the Earth is closer than it is, but you're still about 10,000 feet up.
Exactly. You can come out of that dive.
And use all those ideas. Everything is recording.
And there's that guy sitting next to you, he's a patent officer.
He's listening.
Yeah.
He's listening. He's taking notes. The person to the left of you is a prototypist. He's starting to carve it.
He's got the clay.
Out of that
blue sculpture
sculpting
stuff. By the time you touch ground, you've got yourself a working prototype.
1 to 3 working prototypes of however many ideas you've come up with.
And I guess as you're walking down the aisle, steward. Airline steward, they're an expert in presenting, and you step out of the plane into the lion's den, and you pitch your idea.
So they're like a TV presenter.
Yeah.
But like they just invite you onto the stage and sort of say your name to the
When I said an expert in presenting, I didn't mean a TV presenter, but I realized it's possible that that's how that came across.
I know, but because you're the one giving the presentation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so...
No, yeah, but they were, as you walk down the aisle, they're giving you some tips is all I was saying.
Oh, right.
I was trying to suggest. I mean, I didn't say it.
Like a little masterclass. That's what I was saying. It's a mini masterclass. Yes. As you're walking onto the stage.
Exactly.
You know, and that's timely because a lot of the time you learn a skill, but you don't use it straight away, mm-hmm. and then that info fades. Mm. But the fact that you got a masterclass in the hallway walking up to your presentation means that you can apply that knowledge instantly while it's fresh in your mind. It hasn't even had to leave your short-term memory brain.
And all of these ideas are novel forms of flight.
Sometimes.
Oh, sometimes they're just truths, like universal truths about the need to spend more time with your loved ones or something like that.
Oh, they wouldn't present that.
No, you come out and you've got a blue sculpted demo model of you spending time with your loved ones.
Yeah, that's not going to fly in the lion's den.
Oh, well. Everything else, though.
Is it lion's den?
Flies.
Dragon's den?
Monster's mouth?
Shark's tank?
Yeah. Gruffalo's cave?
Feels weird that, you know, investors are such aggressive, predators.
Very aggressive. Yeah. And that you almost have to convince them to eat you.
Yeah.
Or to eat your idea.
To eat your idea by giving you nutrition?
Well, they take a portion of it, don't they?
That's true. You know, they take a bite out of your idea.
Yeah.
But then somehow your idea gets better.
All right, Al.
Plummet simulator.
Yeah, for creativity. This idea will get off the ground.
That's great. You know, it'll work. Get your ideas off the ground with our plummet simulator.
Yeah. Good, if you feel like you've got something in you haven't been able to get it out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good motivation. I suppose it would also be good for constipation.
Yeah, if you've got something in you haven't been able to get it out.
Yeah, and you're plummeting towards the ground.
So it's people who have, mm-hmm. you know, want to have a world-changing idea, mm-hmm. and people who really need to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can't.
But can't. Or both.
Yeah, but can.
But can. Your butt can.
Your butt can.
Get plummet it off towards the ground. Yeah.
My idea that I was thinking about was just...
Alistair, I'm not interested.
It's just that when we were talking about crowd blowing...
Yes.
And made me think about horsepower and how, you know, like you talk about a horse having 300 horsepower or something like that.
No, you don't.
No?
You don't talk about a horse having 300 horsepower.
No, then I say,
has 1 horsepower.
Yeah, so there must be some horses that have 2 horsepower.
Sure.
Right? Anyway, but... What I meant, people talk about cars having 300 horsepower.
Yes.
Right? And made me wonder about, you know, like how, if there was any ways of kind of getting cumulative effects of power from large groups of people. Mm. And whether there is any way in which a big, large group of people could work together through some kind of crowd mechanics, biomechanic crowd harnessing, where we could turn ourselves into some kind of flying vehicle or vehicle that goes faster than any human could.
I mean, the hard thing is the speed, the weight. The hard thing's the weight, I think, isn't it? But sure, but I mean, but, you know.
Waiting to find out how fast you can go.
Exactly. Yeah. But don't you think, I think like a bicycle goes faster than just a person, right? So presumably a tandem bicycle goes slightly faster than a regular bicycle, right? Because you've saved a bit on weight with the wheels and that sort of thing. And also like aerodynamically, you've got one person right behind the other one, so there's not as much wind resistance.
But what if we didn't have the bike and we were just using people? Is there ways of just linking arms and spinning?
I guess if we were made this whatever this vehicle is big enough, right? Yeah. We could somehow cling to each other's legs and become like the soldier ants or the fire ants or whatever in this structure you're trying to build.
Here's kind of what I'm thinking now. This is, you know, while it's funny how when you speak, it really gives me time to come up with my own idea.
Seems to inspire you, Alistair.
So think of like an arch, right? Now, you know a regular arch, it's like a semicircle.
Yep.
And a bunch of bricks lean together, and the force holds them together, and they'll work. But now think of that working, getting two arches like that,
mm-hmm.
right? That, but instead of bricks, there are people standing front to back.
Great.
So like, sort of maybe like a conga line, but real tight, tight, close up like that. And so then you get a full circle of people's feet on the exterior and their heads in the middle.
Yep.
Right? And now it's like an endless millipede.
Now, you see the problem with this, Alistair?
I don't see a single problem.
Well, arches only work because they're a semicircle.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the gravity pulling down that holds it together. Right?
But we're also linking arms.
We're linking arms and we're spinning.
And we're spinning and we're running.
Yes.
And we're holding on to each other.
I actually think this is a great idea, Al.
I mean, if a circus troupe of about, it would take about probably a circus troupe of maybe 90 to 180 people.
Yes.
I think I've just found a way of maybe doing the first human superorganism that could probably go faster than at least an individual human.
And how do we see this being useful? Is this like a weapon of war? I hate to turn every... This is just typical of me and my military-industrial complex mind, but is this a weapon?
Well, I think at first it'll just be a mode of transport.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, it'll kind of just be to be seen. It'll just be there to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like, you know, somebody doing a double backflip from ground, right? Yeah. At first, it's just about achieving it.
Has that been done now?
I think I just saw a headline for a guy who's from standing, he's done a double backflip.
Far out. That's incredible.
Right? And so this human wheel.
That must look amazing anyway.
I imagine it really does.
But not as amazing as this human wheel when you see it coming across the landscape.
Yeah, the endless millipede.
Yeah.
Yeah. Human millipede.
Holding its own, biting its own tail.
Well, this one won't. It won't have a tail and it won't have a front.
Right.
Because it's an endless one.
Mm.
So it's just the mills.
So human millipede. Do you think people will think it's some sort of human centipede sequel?
That's what I was hoping, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't get that at the time.
Yeah, it's okay. I was trying to play the dumb guy who didn't know.
Yeah, that's good. Things, well, fortunately, I was the dumb guy who didn't get the reference.
That's okay. You picked up on the same joke.
But I wonder if this could, like, if this goes fast enough, and I think possibly it could.
Mm.
This could turn out to be a great way to, say, get from Melbourne to Sydney, right? Because at the moment we don't have a very fast train.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, maybe you could put the call out. Like, say you want to get to Sydney. You put the call out on Gumtree or maybe Facebook and say, hey, guys, looking to go to Sydney this weekend. Hit me up if you're keen. We're going to do a giant human millipede.
Yeah.
Right? And then maybe you get, if you're lucky, you get 178 of your friends, right, who are keen, all right, and you link up somewhere on Sydney Road, you meet up there, and then you get it all together. Well, I guess you'd have to start horizontal on the ground, and then have someone tip you up.
You know what? It just occurred to me. You could make a structure that you could just roll, like just a thin, very like aluminium structure, but that locks you in, so that you could just. It could just roll, like if you just formed a line of people, it could just slowly roll and you'd all slowly lock in and start helping push it.
Yep.
Like that. And then it would just spin you guys around like that. And then you could do it like five people wide.
Wow.
And so that way there's sort of like, it feels like, you know, there's...
I mean, it would almost be terrifying to see this coming towards you, wouldn't it? Because I can't imagine steering is very
high on the list
of possibilities.
Everybody's playing their part.
Yeah. Are the people on the bottom being crushed to death?
No, because it's not just like one person on the bottom. It would be a whole almost semicircle of people.
Look, I don't know. I don't know, Alistair. I mean, there's a whole semicircle of people, but how many people are actually contacting the ground at any one time?
I would say between 40 and 80.
So it's a pretty squishy circle.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it was just like, I'm talking like...
It's super squishy.
Yeah, it's like...
It's not round.
Eh?
It's not round.
Yeah, it's round.
But, okay, you've got 180 people, yeah, right? You're saying 40 people are touching the ground at any given time, yeah, right? That's a little over a quarter of the surface of your circle of people.
Well, maybe
right?
we'll get 360.
360 people.
Yeah.
And you still got 40 people. How many people? So you've got 40 people touching the ground. You've got 360 people in total.
It's right? only. I each didn't say person, it was. I didn't explain that person, I was talking about uneven ground.
So you can only go sort of from one side of a sort of a valley to the other.
Well, that would be one way of doing it.
Name any other way.
Anyway,
of doing
I'll write
it.
Down human. Human millipede wheel.
The millie wheel. The high-speed millie wheel.
Good idea. And then I'll write good idea next to it.
Okay. Are you going to write down the sort of the ratios of like how many person's any, body weight?
I haven't done yet? Any of the maths yet.
Oh,
but,
really?
But we can.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. I mean, look, there could also be, you could just have like,
each person is carrying the weight of 9 people.
Well, we could just have metallic legs that also stick out.
Great, okay. What's the benefit of the wheel?
Eh?
Why are we doing this?
Well, it's just a new mode of transport.
It feels like you started out with a vision.
Well,
it was really quite compelling. It was a new form of transport made entirely out of us all linking arms together, and now you've just got us all inside a wheel.
Well, we're not inside the wheel. We're semi-sticking out.
Metal legs, though.
Well, they're there to help take some of the load.
Oh, in between people and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
But, it's still powered by a human force, and that's still the achievement of, it's like there's no motor in there. This is man-propelled.
Mm. Great. I like it a lot. I think it could be the next Tesla. Because what's better than electric car?
Cars that drive themselves. Cars that are completely driven by people.
Yes.
With no car.
All you need is a place to go. That'll be our slogan. Because that's all you need. You just need a motivation to get somewhere.
No, well, all you need is a place to go and 359 other people.
Great. And really strong legs.
Yeah, but then also it could just roll around and in car, like in the wheel stations, there's just like holes where your people can disembark and by letting
you
go.
You drop down.
You drop down right, as your
somebody
hole
else grabs on as it goes over you.
Yeah.
Man, that's really exciting. Mm. It never stops. Probably people are all just getting in their little holes, grabbing on.
Yeah.
Going upside down. Vomiting.
Vomiting in their own nostrils because they're upside down.
The vomit falls down onto the people below.
Yeah.
You know, who just sort of writhe in disgust, throwing the direction of the wheel off slightly so that when you go over the next station, somebody gets their head crushed by one of the metal legs.
Yeah, no, we won't allow that to happen.
Oh, though. Good. I'm glad there are systems that stop that
sort
of thing.
Yeah, there'll be loud booping if that happens. Boop, 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 boop. And then everybody will use their legs.
Say, oh, don't do
stop,
that.
Stop, 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 stop. And then everybody will stop it like that.
Except for the people who are up the top, obviously.
Well, they'll use their hands down to kind of like give wind resistance.
Well, they'll blow.
The whole
thing.
The people
up the top could be blowing.
That's right. The thing is that the blowing will
probably
because
they'll be facing backwards. It's
exactly.
Perfect. Wait, but they need to be moving the other direction for it to roll.
At anyway, any point.
It doesn't matter. We'll work it out.
Blowing at any point will help.
Great.
Especially if you're running backwards.
All right. Do we have some words from a listener?
Oh yeah, fuck it. All right.
God, well, we're running backwards in this thing as well, are we?
We could be. Okay, we got these are from Ryan Tyler Brother.
Brian Tyler Brother.
No, Ryan Tyler Brother.
Ryan Tyler Brother.
I think it's the Frank Lloyd Wright guy. Frank Lloyd Wrong.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
RTB.
F.
A Ryan Tyler Brother?
Oh, yeah. Ryan Tyler Brother. Yeah, sorry. I thought you'd RTB. You said that after I said Frank Lloyd Wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Creationist.
Mm.
Evolution.
Mm.
Slip and slide. First of all, thank you very much for your words, Ryan Tyler Brother.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Creationist evolution slip and slide.
You know what I love? The scene in any animated movie where they go to the museum and somebody's escaping somebody else and they slide down the bones on the back of the brontosaurus, down the tail.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, it seems fun and it seems to happen.
They slide on their feet.
On their feet, is it?
A lot of the time.
Yeah, right. Well, because it looks fun, but I imagine that would be one of the hardest things to slide down in the world.
Oh, especially as your coccyx, if you're doing it on your butt,
yes,
as your coccyx is encountering other spinal vertebrae. Cord. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're not designed for that, right? No. To be slid over. It's really setting unrealistic expectations for the slidability of skeletal dinosaurs.
They're not designed for that. But what if God stepped in and designed a brontosaurus skeletal system?
One of the ways that we know that God exists is because if it weren't for him, what is the reason why the brontosaurus' spine would have formed such a perfect slip and slide for those escaping hijinks in a natural history museum? I mean, fuck, if we discovered that, if we discover a dinosaur whose backbone is a perfect slip and slide, and there's no other reason for that to have been the case but for an escape scene in some kind of farcical romp, then animated romp, then I will, that would probably be it for me. That would convince me of the evidence of the existence of God.
I think I'd be convinced as well.
Yeah. Do you think Richard Dawkins would?
Look, I think it would pique his interest.
Yeah.
And he would do a little bit of research to see if there was any other reasons why it might have developed a slip and slide skeletal spine. But I would just believe on first viewing.
Something about dropping into a vert? Right?
Sure.
There's vertebrae.
Yeah.
But it's also like a vert.
Do you think we nailed this one very quickly?
I think we nailed it straight away, right?
Sketch.
I think we just, maybe this has been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This dinosaur, whatever it is, and they find it's got the perfect spine.
Well, maybe they could only have discovered it after years of running natural history museums and a pattern of people being able to
slide down the slide them
after getting into some hijinks and they're trying to escape. And they've just been studying CCTV footage.
And the data is absolutely compelling.
Yeah.
This spine is perfectly designed for escaping hijinks.
Yeah.
And to the point, and a criticism about evolution is that you can't conduct experiments on it because it happens over these incredible time frames. But in this case, we have conducted an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence is conclusive.
Absolutely conclusive. Yeah. It's inconclusive.
Yes. I could go on.
Mm.
I'm going to take us through the sketches, please. The ideas that we've come up with.
If we can call them that today, which we can. First, we got the witness protection scam. This is people figuring out that they can witness things and then make money.
Yeah, because that money you get is cumulative. That pension that they give you when you're in a scheme.
Not only that, you could probably get it in different countries as well. Even if it isn't cumulative here, you could get it, go to the States, maybe get a bit of witness protection there. I mean, they might tell you go back to where you came from.
The States?
Maybe.
That seems like something we'd say.
Oh, but they probably want to have access to you so that you can testify.
Yeah, and also a good witness, you know.
It's worth a lot.
It's worth a lot. We probably need more witnesses, if anything.
Especially if you only have eyewitnesses as evidence.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do we do to try and fight crime? We invest more in police and we tell people crime is bad, right? But I say invest in next generation witness technology. Let's be training up our people to be good witnesses.
Absolutely.
Always observant, always snapping photographs of sort of otherwise uninteresting sections of the sky.
Yep. Sticky beaking.
Yes. Right. It's turning into some kind of Big Brother type surveillance state.
But
it's witnesses. But everyone loves a witness.
Yeah.
People hate a spy, but people, they love a witness.
People hate a CCTV camera because it records it forever.
Mm.
And there's a place where they could bring out the footage and show people.
Yes.
But with just some sticky beak nosy neighbor, that information, those images stay inside their head.
That's right.
And they can't be posted on the internet. Except through a set of words.
Do you think that we could get around the CCTV problem by just having sort of sticky beaks sort of glued to the sides of buildings?
Well, it's a good way to...
strapped to a pole.
It's a good way to get a lot of employment for witnesses.
It really is.
Then we have preemptive witness protection.
Yeah, great. If you feel like you're going to see something...
Well, or if you think you might want to change the direction of your life later on in life,
yes,
you get an identity, secret identity at first.
Yep.
And then later on you go and witness a crime if you want a change in your life, and then you can go back to your original personality or whatever.
Because this is another thing. Witnesses don't have a lot of incentive at the moment. But if you had to do it to get back to your old life,
mm-hmm,
you'd probably be much more vigilant.
It's true. Then there's the reality TV show Vagabonds versus Troubadours.
Mm. Yep.
Possibly versus Vagrants.
Yeah.
But they might not get that far.
Well, I think maybe in the last round they bring in a Vagrant just to mix things up.
Just to see if you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Then we got the $3 samples.
Yeah. Is this where things are getting a bit dicey? Do you reckon?
No.
Literally diced. They're diced
sausage
cheeses.
I mean, look, it doesn't have to be this, but if it's a sausage that works like Spanx, changes the shape of your body to remove underwear lines and sock lines.
I think we should talk more about more shapely sausage. Working out different shapes of sausage, something that's, you know...
They've never made a sausage that's shaped like a man, have they?
No. No, they haven't.
You know, if you had sausages that looked like your ancestors...
Like a little man.
Yeah.
You fry that up.
No, but imagine that. You get a bust of your great-grandparents. That's four sausages.
Mm.
Is that right? How many great-grandparents you'd have?
You'd have eight.
Eight. It's eight sausages. Feeds a whole family of four.
Great.
Two sausages each. Mix it up. You get some patriarchal. Get some matriarchal.
How do they look like your grandparents? Are they shaped like a head?
Yeah, yeah, they're busts.
They're still a sausage then? Sound more like a sort of a rissole to me.
No, they're not. They're not a rissole.
Oh, okay.
They're a sausage.
Great.
This is new sausage technology, so it's not going to look like something that you recognize.
So are they 3D printing it or something?
Well, I mean, the mold might be 3D printed, but at some point they're mostly fried.
Right.
Any other questions?
No.
Then we got free sample skydiving.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, where is it? Is it in the aisle at the supermarket, or is it next to a big field where they are doing the skydiving?
I think maybe in the mall, you know, like one of those places at the top of an escalator. They intercept you, like the
paintballing
people.
Try to get you
people.
A paintball. Yes.
But they just have a map of the
or
world.
Sign up for a wine club.
Yeah, or like be one of those people who just buys an apartment off of
a person at a mall.
At a mall, just standing at a table with a photo of a building.
Yep.
We got crowd blowing or crowd paragliding, which is when, you know, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers wears a squirrel suit and puts down his base, then jumps onto the crowd and everybody blows and he glides.
And he disappears. He gets caught in an updraft. And he winds up, 80 kilometers above the surface of the earth, freezes to death in a storm.
Red Hot Chili Peppers have to put an audition out.
Yes.
To get a new bass player, and they get the winner of Vagabonds and Troubadours.
Perfect.
But the guy plays a banjo, which isn't a bass instrument.
Yeah, this is a new direction
for
them.
So the man invents a bass banjo, and it's a huge banjo that doesn't have any tinniness to it.
And it's called a bongjo.
A bongjo, yeah. And it's got a gong on the front. Mm. It's actually an Asian-inspired instrument. And hillbilly. As well. Then we've got the People's Engine, which is a new thing they put into...
I know we've been saying Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers this entire time. The whole time I've been picturing Edge from U2.
Yeah.
I've been saying Flea and I've been thinking Edge. I was like, something's not right in my head.
I'm not sure you have been saying Flea. You've been hearing Flea, but you've maybe been saying Flea in your head, but I don't think you've said Flea yet.
Oh, great.
That might have been the first time you said Flea.
Yeah, okay, great.
If anybody has been listening and been paying attention to the number of times Andy said Flea.
Well, I've been picturing Edge.
Yeah, he's been picturing Edge, and that's okay. We got the People's Engine, which is a...
Yes.
An engine that we have in a plane, or we say to the passengers of a plane they have in a plane, that when the plane is crashing, you can blow into your oxygen mask, and that will help get that extra engine going. Mm. You know how there's that hole near the end of the tail?
Maybe you could say it's all blowing out there.
It's all coming out of there, and that's extra bit of a boost.
That we need to get out of this death spiral.
Yeah. Oh, imagine a big Boeing like that getting in.
Oh, we shouldn't
desktop.
Call it a death spiral. Let's call it an oopsie curve.
Oh, maybe something even more positive.
Let's call it an up opportunity.
Mm.
An opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. Then we got the plummet.
Death spiral's very negative.
Yeah, the plummet simulator for creativity.
Circle of life. Now, that'll make people feel good.
It makes you think about The Lion King. Yeah. It makes you think about Elton John.
Hakuna Matata, no worries.
No worries. Suddenly, you've forgotten about the
You're
People's
already
Engine.
Dead.
You've forgotten about the People's Engine, which was there to distract you from the fact that you were plummeting to the ground.
Yes.
Then we got the plummet simulator for creativity. That's where you wind up with a prototype, and you walk onto
Shark
Tank.
By the time we finished taxiing.
Mm-hmm. Then you got human millipede wheel. That's a good idea. And then we have the Brontosaurus backbone slip and slide evidence for God's intelligent design.
Go on. No, I think that's great. I think that this millipede thing, absolutely, let's just start small, right? If you've got that aluminium frame, get me one with four guys in it, right? And prove the concept to me.
I don't think it would work with four guys because there's just not enough.
No, you push every time it goes around. It keeps your momentum going. I reckon it would work. You're like a flywheel. You've got a lot of angular momentum as soon as you get started. You might even need a bit of a push to get going. But I just need to see this going, Alistair. And then, like anything, it's like cruise ships. You start small and then you get, the incentive's there, the money's there, and these things get bigger and bigger and bigger. Soon you've got one with a buffet.
Sure, but I think minimum...
buffet spins around, you grab food as it goes
past. I think minimum you could do one with 16 people.
All right, 16. Sure.
And we could probably get a circus troupe to do it.
Yeah.
Shay, if you're listening, you've worked with circus people. Send us a tweet or a Facebook message. Let us know if this is sounding like...
Shay, you've worked with circus people. You know about sort of the load-bearing capacity of the human leg. Is 9 people per person? Is that too many to carry, do you think?
Shay is a listener who is involved in the circus. And so thank you very much, Shay, for lending your expertise if you still listen.
And if you don't, we're so happy for you and good luck with your life.
Yeah, good luck with your life,
whatever
Shay.
It is that you're listening to now.
Yeah, we hope that it brings you the same amount of satisfaction that we get from when we thought that you listened to us.
Do we come out of this setting like happy people?
I think now we got to do the song thing.
Dung.
Dung.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. You know what? We appreciate it.
We do, and we love it, and we enjoy it when people listen. We also enjoy it. It doesn't matter. We enjoy just doing it.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't matter.
To be honest, originally we got into this to just come up with ideas, some of them that are usable.
And, I think to a certain extent, that's kind of what we've done on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep doing it because we have nothing better to do.
To be honest, this is one of the better things that we do.
You can find us on Twitter at 2inTank. I'm at StupidOldAndy.
I'm at AlistairTB.
We'd really like it if you get the chance to review us on iTunes. People have been doing that recently. It makes us feel real good.
And they say that it helps. We don't know in which way exactly, but people who on other podcasts, they say, It really helps the podcast.
The visibility and things like that. I can't imagine that it... I think we're probably beyond the point of help, but like if there's even an infinitesimal improvement that's possible.
You know, whatever it
is
takes.
Is it too late for us to get new and noteworthy, do you think, on iTunes?
I don't know. It was that 3-year break that we took, I think, maybe, that might have ruined us.
Yeah, you think that screwed us?
I don't know. We could relaunch.
What does the algorithm do with 3-year breaks?
No, I don't know. It probably gives you a real boost. Probably.
Is there a section of the front page of iTunes podcast that says, well, these guys have started up again?
Stale and almost dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just chuck them a listen because it feels like they're probably going to quit, which we're not, by the way.
We're not going to quit. We're basically in this for life. We got to get at least to episode 200 where we have to come up with 200 sketch ideas in one episode.
If you can find us on Patreon also, if you want to chip in, you can send us your three words. And
much like Ryan Tyler Brother did with his creationist evolution and slip and slide words.
Absolutely.
And then there's also the $8 Patreon pledge that allows you to get the extra two episodes that we make a month.
One where we come up with a number of an idea and one where we're working on a sitcom. Now, the last episode of the sitcom one, we were pretty tired and I thought it was shit. But
did you? Did you listen to the whole thing?
I listened to bits of it and I wasn't happy with my performance. But, Alistair, it's okay.
But then with some of the other one...
They've been incredible.
And people have been saying it's been better than the regular podcast.
So either way, we've got a good reason to feel bad. Don't worry. We're fine for that.
Thank you to the Planet Broadcasting people, and we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.